Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Okay, great. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm really excited to have Sonia Price with me. I care so much about people, and I know Sonia does. She wrote about infinite leaders and accelerating leadership. And so I'm really excited to have you. We'll talk about AI, but I'm also really interested to just talk about leadership. But go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we can get started.
Okay. Hey, Dean. It's so wonderful to be on the show. Thank you so much for inviting me. And yeah, so I do team cohesion, leadership development, and executive advisory. And I work with senior level leadership teams to help them understand how to have higher performance, better commitment, better communication, better accountability. And so really looking at the people side of business, how can we use technology, but also how can we marry that in a way that helps people be more effective and amazing at connecting with and empowering each other to get the business results that we desire.
Yeah, that's probably a more important topic than people know, more important than your product, than your tech, than everything, because people still will create everything. Okay, we love AI, but AI is not going to be creating everything in the future. And it's always about the people. Curious, like, you must be taking a lot of questions, and there's so much hype around AI replacing jobs, and which I am not a believer of that. People need to study computer science. People need to keep hiring junior people, and we need to keep building out our workforce. But I'm interested, like, what's your thoughts on just everything going on with AI and jobs and leadership? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. The trend that I'm seeing for sure is identifying how to integrate AI into team workflows. So it's not either or, it's definitely both. And so how we can be effectively using AI more in the leadership space is understanding how to translate data insights into strategy. And the strategy is still being done by humans today. So we have to think through how are we connecting the dots between all of these various different AI data points that we're now pulling together. I heard some fact the other day that something like 56% of employees now trust AI and GPTs, the LLMs, trust the data that they get from the LLMs more than their fellow colleagues. So we are now more so reliant on AI data, but we still have to get things done through people. And sometimes that data is the right data, sometimes it's not the right data. So we have to apply strategic thinking, connect the dots, make better decisions, and ultimately connect with one another so that we can actually implement things and get the work carried out through the organization, still in an engaging kind of way. And when I think about the future of work, those are some of the things that I think about the most is, what is employee engagement going to look like as we move forward? And what will the retention rate look like? Or how big of an unemployment rate will we have? Still remains to be unseen. So we can definitely have that conversation. But yeah, just thinking about how does all of this fit together and how can we still continue to be good humans to each other as we go about the world of work on a daily basis?
Yeah, maybe in all aspects of our life, right? We're always trying.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And what do you've studied this and you work with so many leaders. So when you see a high performing team or culture or leader, like what are some of the attributes you could share with us?
Yeah, oftentimes we'll see silos show up in organizations and leadership teams, right? And some of that is driven by how an organization really approaches the conscious design of their culture and their work environment. But if we can break down those silos and get everyone working together with the same agenda, then people generally enjoy work more. They have a more unique appreciation and respect for their colleagues, or they feel respected by their colleagues, and greater collaboration, more innovation can happen, better communication. Just having better communication can make such a drastically different experience of your life and the people that you engage with. And then also just having shared vision, commitment to that shared vision, and accountability to hold people accountable to the goals of what we're all up to. And definitely creates for a much better work environment, and people feel like it's something that they actually want to be a part of.
Yeah. And then emotional intelligence is talked about a lot, but I'm curious, do you think the LLMs have emotional intelligence?
That's an interesting question. I don't know how much you
I threw a
evaluate it.
curveball at you or not. Like, what?
No, I actually love it because I don't know how much you have evaluated the various different LLMs. Each of them is developing their own personality
Yeah,
style,
like,
so
Grok's
say,
crazy,
right?
but
And
anyway, go
people,
ahead. Sorry.
oh, Grok. Yeah. Okay. So let's just compare the difference between Grok and ChatGPT. ChatGPT is woke. If you're familiar with that term, it's woke. It's so nice. It wants to placate to your feelings and make you feel good about asking the right questions. And it's, oh, I'm here. I'm your best friend. Let me help you. Versus there are definitely different tones in other LLMs as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I mean, we build AI software as well, and we feel like we have to build in different personas and different tones if
For
people
sure.
they want that. Never to the
Yep.
point of where like you can put Grok into some crazy tone, but so you do think then they have good emotional intelligence.
I do. And I bet that as we continue to move forward, I bet some of the personality science will get baked in to future versions of the LLMs, and it will just automatically be able to detect what type of person am I. If I've taken the DISC or Myers-Briggs or Enneagram or Hogan or any of those big personality assessments that just probably in the way that I engage with it or you engage with it, it'll start to notice our language patterns and then present the information accordingly of, oh, you're more of a director. You want it short and sweet and to the point. Oh, you're more of an influencer. I'm gonna be really friendly and engaging and warm with you. So
Yeah,
I could definitely
that's
see
interesting.
that moving forward in the future.
About 20 years now, I went to the Center for Creative Leadership, and
Oh yeah, that's a
I mean,
fantastic organization.
oh my God, I'm shocked at this. This was a long time ago what the state of psychology is, and they knew everything. They knew everything about me, and they strategically put me next to people that would bring out bad behavior I had, and
Oh.
they had this whole like experiential learning. So they basically brought out your good and bad behavior. And then you're like, whoa, I didn't know that they could like orchestrate that. And then you reflect on it and you're like, oh yeah, I got to work on that. But I don't know, now AI is going to be as smart as them. And man, we got to be careful because when you know how someone thinks and behaves and you can manipulate them for the bad and you can manipulate them for the good, which you talked about, communication style. Sharing a goal, understanding why we're doing something and energizing people. And but yeah, we also have to be careful about deception and things like that and bad intentions. But and I guess you see all that when you coach and coach leaders. I'm sure you've seen all kinds of different personalities and leaders. And so a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, running teams, and like we're always on this growth path, how to become a better leader. What like advice would you have like someone should take? Okay, here are things you can do to build a better culture or be a better leader or thoughts along those lines.
Yeah. One of my greatest learnings is that leadership is not about power. Leadership is about empowering others. And I think sometimes we have to question the motivation for why people want to get promoted into the more and more senior level positions. And so I do notice some different persona types, like at the executive level versus kind of director, senior manager. And it's just interesting to see how people go through their own learning journey. Because even when you first step into leadership, it's uncomfortable, it's unfamiliar. You're working your way through various different things of, okay, this is my first time delivering a performance review. How do I talk about these things? Or, oh my gosh, I have these big, huge goals and key initiatives, and I need my team to help me accomplish these things so that I can look good and I can continue to get promoted. But really, leadership is about empowering others. It is through delegation, which is great and amazing, but are you actually empowering those people? Are you helping develop them as better leaders along the way too, right? And the more that people do that and then they progress and progress over time, I've seen leaders be accountable for creating the culture of an organization because of their impact and their wake, so to say, of what they have created beyond with the people that work with and for them, and then how that can like transform an organization over time.
Yeah, that's a really good point of view. And it's just be yourself, bring your authentic self to work, and then people just build trust with you. And like you said, yeah, I really liked what you said, that you're helping them become better leaders and get work done through them. And it's hard to imagine. I mean, you wrote it on your website. So, like, the future of work, it's actually really quite hard to imagine the future of work now with. Here we are with AI. We're really at the beginning stages, but if you read all the news, you think we're here, like way up here. We're really not there yet. But so, what is the future of work, or
We're
what?
not there yet, but the next 5 years are going to be very interesting. Like, we're headed towards some pretty drastic change, and it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I've heard various different things. In the future, the job of a full-time worker will be to manage a team of AI agents. I do think that will be a part of our work. I think we're always still going to have to get things done through people. And if it gets to a point where we don't need people, I'm not sure if it's a world that I want to be a part of.
Yeah,
So
who do we all sell to then? What are we building?
that's right. Yeah. Unless I can just truly go retire on a private island, not even a private island, go someplace tropical and just
What if you want a
eat
bigger
coconuts
island? Then you
and.
have to even work for a bigger island. You can't. It's all the AI will determine what size island you get.
Yeah, boy, yeah, now you're, yeah. Did you read that the 2027 report?
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah,
It's
what are your
frightening.
thoughts on it?
It's frightening. I only read the bad outcome. I didn't go back and read the good outcome. And I think that
But you
capitalism,
gotta have some positivity there, you gotta have some
yeah, I'm like,
optimism.
I'm on the sci-fi and stuff like that. So I had to read the we're all done kind of outcome. But I think it's a little, I think it's really thought-provoking. 2027 is 2 years away or a year and a half away. I don't think that's the timeline. I think that there's some really good lessons in there of a dramatic, I think it's very dramatic. And but if you read it and you take the dramatic impact it could have, then you could build a different future. And but there are some crazy things like the amount of money and capital and all that money that's being invested in AI, there needs to be a return on that. So that means people are racing harder and faster than we probably should. And the guardrails aren't there. And like you just said, 56% of the people believe the AI more than the humans. And yeah, the AI sounds so convincing, and but like it's not always right, and it can be deceptive. That's when it gets to be a little bit of a bad world. And yeah, I thought it was a great read, and I'm worried about it. Well, what did
The
you think? What
ethics
did
and
you?
the report, yeah, it's hard not to want to just go bury your head in the sand. But yeah, there's the dystopian future and then
The happy
what can
future? I didn't read that part. Was
I
that
did remember I
happy?
did read it. You know what? I'm trying to remember exactly how the happy future ended though. So I'll have to go back and review that because
You
the
get
rabbit
stuck in the
hole,
bad
negative
future.
path. What's that?
Yeah, you get stuck. Like I have to go back and read the good future, but the good news is that there everyone thinks we're doing agentic AI now, and hardly everyone's building agentic AI, but it doesn't work yet. It's so hard. And having AI agents talk to AI agents, forget it. The AI gets so much wrong right now. And so it's everyone wants to talk about the amazing productivity and this and that. Oh yeah, but like us humans will be around for quite some time. Don't worry. So the pace of innovation is there. It's pretty impressive. And when people talk publicly, they only want to like talk about this grand picture when reality is much more grounded and probably 10x divided by 10 what a lot of these things are saying. I would just state that. So maybe not 2027, maybe more like 2037.
Okay.
Go a little
good
bit
to
longer.
Know. Good to know. I'll trust your judgment on that. You have much much better grasp on the tech side than I do.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, no matter what, you're always going to be dealing with humans. And what you do is helping people like build better teams and be better leaders. And the AI is not going to take that because it takes that. Well, I guess there is counseling now. I've never tried any of that. I don't know if coaching and have you experimented anything with coaching AI coaches or are they any good?
Oh, I've definitely used GPT as my own career coach and have asked it questions about, how should I proceed in the future? Or should I contact these types of clients or these types of clients? It's pretty dang good. It's pretty dang good. And I actually like the audio version where you go back and forth in a conversation. And I will literally just go on a walk in my neighborhood and I'll walk around and talk to my AI bot.
Yeah.
Resolve all of the challenges of my life.
Well,
tell me
good.
What should I do with my life next?
And what is
as many professionals, I'm always on my own journey of trying to decide, okay, what's right for me to focus on next and helping me dial into my corner of the market. What's the right size organization for me to work with? You know, what level of leadership teams? And I personally really like working with organizations where I can have an impact, like an organizational wide impact. That means a certain number of employees, not typically like the 200,000 employee big tech companies that I have also done work with. And I'm realizing that I think I want to focus more on conscious organizations that are doing good work in the world and helping them become better. And working with teams that they actually want to make a difference. They want to be engaged. They want to do this work because they see how it fulfills their own personal growth journey as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to focus on who you want to work with, and then you can have a better impact and more enjoyable dialogue with everyone. And what's a conscious organization? What does that mean?
Oh, okay. There's a wide variety of them, but and you can define it any number of different ways, but I would say Patagonia is an excellent example of a conscious organization. They were one of the first leaders that started recycling plastic and making it into really cool, hip jackets. They give, I'm not entirely sure the exact percentage, but I know that they give at least 1% of their profits away, probably significantly more than that. They're a steward for the environment. And they map out their entire supply chain. So if you buy a jacket or an article of clothing from them, you can literally go on their website and they will tell you, we got this resource from this country, this resource from this country. It all got manufactured and put together here. And then you can actually think through what actually went into creating this article of clothing that I probably take for granted that I walk outside and it keeps me warm on a chilly day.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so I know. So it's like conscious capitalism.
Conscious capitalism, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep,
so
for sure.
Not only they're providing a product or service, but they're caring about the impact on society and the environment.
Yeah. B Corps, if you're familiar with B Corps, triple bottom line, people, planet, profit.
Yeah, I never heard of that, but now I have. But yeah, that's
cool.
Good. Yeah, I love camping and nature and everything. I think I don't think about it like I'm probably not a conscious organization, but I think in values, a lot of us do care that way. Like we just care about building good software, taking care of customers. And I don't know if we care about how much energy we're using, or I don't even know if we could. I'm not sure. I guess most AI companies can't care about that with how much energy that it's consuming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we
But
do.
and there are sustainable forms of energy out there. So if you do have a choice, can you choose more sustainable forms?
I'm all for nuclear. I don't know if I just upset you and you don't want to talk to me anymore, but
No.
I'm all for nuclear.
Let's do it. Let's do
Yeah,
it.
good. It's
Seriously.
cleaner. It's a lot
Yeah.
cleaner than everything.
Yeah. And it will help solve our problem. Hopefully quickly. We'll see how quickly we can do that. But yeah, we got to
Yes.
find power. We got to find a lot more power
A
somewhere.
lot more. So you
Where's
like
it
to
going to
work
be?
with maybe like 40 million ARR mid-market companies, because then you can work with leadership teams that could impact the whole organization and not have to deal with ingrained bad cultures. Like they can really
Yeah.
change things. It's funny how it's almost, I don't know if you have a theory here or experience, but like the bigger you get, even if you have the best intentions in the world, it's so hard to keep maintaining that culture, like a great culture. And then you have
Yeah.
subcultures, and like we have offices around the world, and each office has its own subculture, and it's just a
Right.
difficult thing.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. The
Yeah.
bigger you get, even if you have the intention of having a great culture, it becomes harder and harder. Do you think that, or I don't know? It's
I do think that, and something that I actually want to put in some more research around. I was just thinking about this. I've done some work with startups, and I've seen that when an organization reaches somewhere between 200 to 300 people, there starts to be some churn because maybe that organization has been around for a while. People are starting to move on and do different things, or there's now a certain level of structure and process that there could be some major inefficiencies by the time that you get to this level. It was like what you started with will no longer work by the time that you get to a certain level. And it's debatable like what number of employees that is. But then I'd love to think through that about just various different maturities of organizations. And are there certain like key threshold points that it's okay, you can get started with this until you get to this point. Then you build something new and that works really well until this point. And then, but what are those like markers of number of people or amount of revenue, or you could define that by a number of different things, but where are the key transformation points for an organization? And do they choose to consciously go through that to design something better that works for them, or do they keep trying to rely on the old system and then just constantly be hitting their head against the wall?
Yeah, a lot of things are changing so fast. Like I'm a big believer in like culture is just how everyone works together. Like you enjoy the people you're working with, you enjoy the product or service you're building or delivering, and it comes down to that. And unfortunately and fortunately, the right manager can make or break things, even if you have a great leader. And so I think from leadership, you just don't put up with bad leaders, bad managers, and bad behavior, and you just don't put up with it. And that's how you can help keep a good thing going. And but yeah, everything, it just gets harder and harder, especially if you get bigger and bigger or you get many different locations around the world. And but it's so important. Like the reason why we've been in business 36 years is because of, and everyone says it, but it's so true, it's because of our people. Like we wouldn't have survived so long if we didn't have a good culture and keep innovating and rebuilding and attracting new talent and not losing talent. And it's such a big fabric. And I don't think AI is going to ever impact that. I don't see a world of just AI agents doing everything. It's just another workforce element and another person on the team, but it's not the team. And
That's right.
yeah,
Yeah.
I just don't see
Yeah.
that happening. If it does happen, yeah, like we need to find an island and protect ourselves from the chaos.
Yeah.
The 2027 doom machine. Yeah.
Dean, I wanted to acknowledge you because you have an organization that you started 36 years ago. Now,
Yeah.
that's a huge testament to leadership, and I have no idea what you've gone through throughout that incredible 36-year journey, but I can imagine it probably wasn't all rainbows and butterflies.
Nope.
And I'm sure you've gone through your own growth phases with your team and yourself. And the fact that you have remained in business and probably doing quite well, I'm guessing, for 36 years, like major props, major kudos to you. That's,
Thank you.
a very rare thing in this world, I think.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate
Yeah.
that. That's the thing. Yeah, everyone likes to get appreciated. So thank you. Thank you for appreciating me. Yeah, I think some of us need more appreciation than others, and I
Well,
probably need a lot of appreciation.
as
So,
a leader, I bet you get the least amount of appreciation because that's typically how it goes.
yeah, you really appreciate authentic appreciation. As a leader, sometimes I think I get pretty good appreciation, not always, but where I am now, I'm getting good appreciation. I've reached a point in my life where enough people that matter to me have appreciated me, and that's all I need. So maybe it's just you
Aww.
need to know who you need to appreciate, who needs to appreciate you.
Yeah.
But you know what, Sonia? Thank you for appreciating me.
Of course. Yeah. What are some of the biggest leadership lessons that you have learned throughout your life?
I agree with what you said. It's all about the team. No matter whether you're the executive team or your product team, it's always all about the team. So it's about listening and learning and hearing people and working through problems and asking a lot of questions. So it's like what you talked about, coaching and building people. And I'm more direct. So, okay, we're having this problem. Like, it just call it out. Why is it taking us so long to design this piece of software or this user experience? Like, we should have already built it. What's holding us back? And then just listen. Because you don't know, like, just there's real problems. And so then everyone starts talking about the problems, and then people can start coming up with the solutions. But the people that are having the problems also come up with the solutions. And then all of a sudden you have alignment and buy-in, and then they go off and execute. I'm just a big believer in talking about it and then letting the team work it through. And so, yeah, it starts with trust in people and culture first, which is so basic but so important. And then for me, it's also just like really aligning on some priorities. And like, we all want to build so much, including me, but we have to, oh, we got to slow down, really trying to get focused on priority of where we can do a really good job and where we can compete. And but the biggest lesson is being open to feedback, keep learning. And it's not always if someone's right or wrong how they perceive you. It's just that they're perceiving you that way. Why not change their perception, whether they're right or wrong? And if they're right, why not change? But in either way, you want to change the story. And then, yeah, don't take everything so seriously. Enjoy it, because you asked about there's been so many problems. And so you run so hard and you get hurt so much. And it's always a bumpy road. So, okay, enjoy today. Enjoy it. Have fun. Okay, you can't always have fun, but try to. And so
Yeah.
that's another big
Yeah.
thing. If for sustainability and health, like, you got to enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, go do something else. It'll hurt you. But yeah, that's
Oh,
something.
those are all such great points. So good. Yeah.
Yeah. So what question didn't I ask you that you wanted to
Ooh.
share? Or maybe I asked you so all great questions.
You did. I think something that I would love to impart on your listeners is what do we all need to be preparing for the future of work? And yes, learn AI skills, learn as much as you can, figure out how it works, how it's supposed to work. You don't have to be a coder, but understand what it's capable of and how each of us can use that to be better leaders, to make smarter decisions. But don't let that sacrifice you collaborating with others, because still the top leadership skills beyond technical is emotional intelligence, storytelling and influence, systems thinking, being able to think through how all the different pieces and parts work together, and to be able to see beyond silos and actually break down silos so that the entire organization can work together more effectively. And I might add a new piece about, I think something that we as a collective really need to be paying attention to is ethics and governance. And I think that's the key piece that we're missing around AI right now that I'm not hearing a whole lot of discussion at all about. And the rocket ship has already left the station. How can we catch up so that we can be here for one another and make sure that we're designing the kind of world that we want to live into so that we can write the positive ending to the 2027 report and have that together versus the not so great ending.
Yeah, that's all good advice. I'm afraid that we're all running too fast and There's just going to be some big train wrecks, and then we'll learn from it. That just seems how humanity goes. But maybe we'll be smarter and more pragmatic. But let's see. I don't know. There's just so much competition out there to build the next great thing. And yeah, everyone should read 20. What is it? It's AI-2027 dot something. I forgot what the URL is, but it's a good read. Yeah, maybe you look it up and you can share it with the readers. Are the listeners, I'm sorry.
Yes, so it's AI-2027.com.
Okay, yeah. Great read. It's by a bunch of guys from OpenAI researchers, and it's very interesting. Everyone should read it, and you'll probably all go build your bunkers afterwards, but read the happy ending. Don't read the bad ending.
Read them both. It's good to be educated. It's good to know what is possible, but it's also good to have hope. Like
Yeah.
you gotta have hope to like move forward in the future, and you want to create a better environment for many generations to come. Hopefully that can be a thing for us.
Yeah, no doubt. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Find me on LinkedIn. You can look up my name, Sonja Price, Sonja Price, or visit my website, infiniteleaders.co.
Awesome. Yeah, I really enjoyed having you on. I share a lot of your thoughts. So yeah, thank you for sharing your thoughts with the listeners.
Thank you, Dean. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.